Well, sir, it's a few minutes past 12 o'clock noon as we enter the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here in the kitchen, we find Vic, Sade, and young Russell. Since our friends aren't seated at the table, it is our immediate surmise that the meat's not done, which is precisely the case. Listen.
People ask for beef, Uncle, so people have to take the consequences. Both you fellows know good and well that beef sausage requires 9 million years to cook tender. Don't sit down, Vic.
You'd rather I stood up?
Yes, or going out of room. Ridiculous, you standing there looking hungry and wistful and pathetic and staring at the dinner table. And what you going to do, Russell?
Well, make a telephone call.
No.
I guess you didn't hear my question. My statement. I guess you didn't hear my statement.
No. Ish, go in the other room, you guys. I'll holler when dinner's on the table.
I made this statement, Mom. I said, I believe I'll put through a telephone call.
And I made the statement, no. You're never in this house 2 minutes for what you grab that telephone by the throat and start calling up kids.
I realize I'm a very unimportant cog in civilization.
Yes, but you sure are. Who is it this time?
I have an important communication for Heine Call.
Heine's not home.
You persist in treating me like I got no sense.
Heine's not home.
How would you know that, Mom?
Because I saw him out the pantry window not 9 seconds ago, running up the alley toward the grocery store.
Thank you.
Not at all.
I will communicate with Heine after dinner.
Yes, do that. And call 7 billion other kids while you're at it. Oh, but this telephone business is getting to be too much of a good thing. Lucy said she tried to get a hold of me 4 separate times Saturday afternoon. Line was busy, line was busy, line was busy.
It's only 3 times.
Line was busy.
There we are, 4.
Please don't sit down.
You'd better I stood up.
Let's all go in the other room. Everybody congregates in a person's kitchen like the bullet that killed Billy Patterson. Come on, you too, Russell.
Who?
May a man bring anything?
Done from Kleeberger's.
Nature has given Kleeberger's a beautiful gift of lasted.
When are you going to pay that $2?
Next week at 6 o'clock.
A shame to let it drag on and on.
I know it is. I thought about it this morning at the office and got to crying and couldn't stop. Miss Hammersmith had to bathe my wrist with spirits of Kempton.
Funny, funny man. Leave all stretch out on the Davenport till the beef uncles are done. I've really been going it today. Worked like a horse. Never even stopped to catch my breath.
Mm-hmm. Mom? I'd like to have a group of friends here this evening.
Miss Dunbarton said something about 500. Say, Ted does have a cold.
Nature has given Ted the beautiful gift of laughter.
He almost didn't go to foundry this morning.
Mom?
Self is rotten.
Mm-hmm. Mom?
Yes, Russell, honey, what is it?
I'd have my friends in the kitchen. We won't bother you.
Whole crowd of boys you want to bring?
5. Smart Clark, Rooster Davis, Milton Wilt, Tiny Carl, and Cracky Arrow.
Study algebra together?
No, hold a meeting. A very serious meeting. Is it okay?
Well, if you and your chum stay in the kitchen, keep it halfway quiet.
We'll be quiet enough. Like I said before, this is a very serious meeting. We'll probably talk in whispers.
Not planning to dynamite the People's Bank building, are you, Bottle Stopper?
We're planning to save Bluetooth Johnson from tragedy.
Hey,
hey. Bluetooth Johnson is in a tub of mighty hot water.
He didn't look like he'd been in any tub of hot water when he was here Saturday afternoon. Such dingy neck and ears I never seen in my life before.
Bluetooth Johnson is treading on very, very thin ice.
I used to tread on very, very thin ice for a living. It was up by the Harold L. Freebocker River. They paid me 40 cents an hour.
We don't need to discuss this, Gus. I just thought you might be interested in law.
I hope I don't drop off to sleep here. Boy, what a morning of it I've had.
Go ahead. As soon as you hear the beef uncle's burning, we'll wake you up.
Ruthie went to sleep in Yamilton's the other day, I tell you. She did.
Maybe she's given Yamilton's a beautiful gift of laughter.
She was exchanging some stockings. Of course, when you return merchandise that way, Yamilton's always got a lot of red tape and trash to go through. Well, Mr. What's my funny with the pinch-nose eyeglasses that supervises ladies' underclothes told her to sit down a minute. She sat down and she dropped off to sleep. Mr. Hooper-Madoodle finally jiggled her elbow and woke her up. She felt so simple, she felt like pulling her shoes up by the roof. Ted had to laugh.
Nature has given Ted the beautiful gift.
Yes. Who is that Mr. Huggledy-Buggle with the pinch-nose eyeglasses that supervises ladies' underclothes?
Harry Bubeck.
It is a name that sounds like that. Kind of a simple-headed fellow.
Why do you look so melancholy, Dr. Speech?
I'm still thinking about poor Bruce Johnson being in this tub of hot water. He's given himself so much hope he's liable to get strangled.
By Jove, Lillian, that sounds bad.
It is bad. That's why us guys are having this meeting tonight. Us six fellas are Bluetooth's best friends. We're going to do what we can to save him.
What exactly is the difficulty?
Mildred Tisdall.
Nature has given Mildred Tisdall the beautiful gift of laughter.
Now who's being funny, funny man? Now who's being funny, funny man?
Me. I'm funny, funny man.
Well, a few months ago, Bluetooth Johnson was foolish enough to write a note to Mildred.
Was he?
A sophomore writing a note to a girl is a terrible thing.
Is he?
The American public won't stand for it.
Hmm.
Luckily, Bluetooth escaped the American public's fury. The matter was hushed up and smoothed over.
Mm.
However...
Yeah?
Instead of letting sleeping dogs lie, Bluetooth
I
went ahead...
I let sleeping dogs lie for a living. They paid me 40 cents an hour and time and a half for overtime.
You want to hear this?
I sure do, boy.
Instead of letting sleeping dogs lie, Bluetooth went ahead and gave Mildred a birthday present.
The scoundrel.
Sheer recklessness. Just plain waving a red flag at a ball. A sophomore going to work and writing a note to a girl and then giving her a present on her birthday.
Has he been foolhardy enough to do something else?
He's done two other things.
What are they?
He wrote a poem about Mildred, and he walked home with Mildred.
My eyes blink and my tongue lolls out at this intelligence.
How long have we been in here?
Oh, 6, 7, 8 minutes, maybe.
And I'll give the beef uncle two more shakes of the lamb's tail.
He wrote a poem about Mildred, and he walked home with Mildred.
It's hard to believe.
I'll say it is. The American public stood for the note and the birthday present, but this is goading the American public into a frenzy.
What's the American public going to do about it?
I don't know, but it's liable to be plenty. There's some mighty tough guys up at school. They're not going to let any sophomores get away with murder.
How'd they find out about the poem?
Mildred showed it around.
Was it a sentimental poem?
Spring is coming. Hear the buzz of the bees. I'll meet you at the southwest corner of Ferry Avenue and Washington Street near the main entrance to the building at 3:30.
Bluetooth has captured a whisper of fragile beauty there.
Sure he has.
He's out of season.
Why?
Spring is coming.
Oh, well, heck.
Mildred showed the poem around, huh?
Yeah. Oh, it's a terrible affair. And then to cap the climax, Bluetooth walked home with Mildred.
You do that yourself.
I do.
Sure, I've heard you say.
I do not.
I've heard you say 8 quillion times.
Oh, me and Mildred have walked home together, yes, but not just the two of us. There's been other individuals present.
Oh.
No sophomore ever walks home alone from school with a girl. That's an unwritten law. Why, before I'd walk home with a girl and nobody else present, I'd jump off the People's Bank building blind. Mr. Bruce Johnson is in a tub of mighty hot water. Tonight, our six friends of his are going to try to formulate plans to save him.
Maybe you could sneak him out of the country a few days until the thing blows over.
Well, this won't ever blow over. The American public can never forget this. Well, add up the facts. Here's a sophomore. The sophomore wrote a note to a girl. He gave the girl a birthday present. He sent the girl a poem. He walked home with the girl.
I grow white-lipped and trembling just thinking about it.
What us guys will probably do is form a bodyguard with Bluetooth. We'll never leave him out of our sight.
Here's a suggestion. Give Bluetooth a loaded pistol and tell him to step into the next room.
No fooling, Gov. This is serious.
That's what I say.
Well, fellas.
Beef Bunker's done?
Yep.
You know instinctively when the beef bunkers are done, huh?
I can just about tell.
Uh-huh.
You dropped Kleberger's note on the floor.
Indeed. Yes, indeed. I want to hear it worried inside my shirt next to my heart.
Pay him their $2.
I will. Oh, I will. I will.
I bet.
Kleberger's, sweet Kleberger's. How I love them.
Well, who wants beef, Uncle?
Me.
Me too.
Come on.